How are you humble enough, and how are you also confident? People want to follow confident leaders, but you also have to be open to learning. You have to be open to making mistakes and those types of things. And what I learned was, and I heard this quote somewhere, act like you've never won before when you practice, but act like you've never lost before when you're playing the game.
You're listening to Retail Remix. Your inside access to candid conversations with the people shaping retail's future. Here's your host, Alicia Esposito.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Retail Remix. You know me by now. I'm Alicia Esposito, VP of Content for Retail Touchpoints. And I'm super excited to have with me at NRF, Brian LeBrock, lifelong retailer, now author. We're going to get into it. But first, Brian, welcome. So great to have you.
Oh, thank you, Alicia. Thank you for having me. It's great to be here. Looking forward to it. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, and we actually got connected through a mutual friend, Ron Thurston, who you folks can't see, but he's sitting right here.
Yeah, he's sitting right in front of us right now.
He's coaching us along, our hype man over here. And before we get into the heart of our chat, which is your book and why it matters, especially with everything going on in retail right now, I think the big question folks may have is, like, why this guy? Like, what's the big deal about Brian, right? And I think what resonated with me is just your rich history and heritage and retail, and you have quite the resume. So let's start with that. Like, how did you get started with retail? What is that entire history look like? How did you work your way up the ranks?
I mean, I'm a retailer at the core. And I like to tell the story. I've been literally studying retail since I was old enough to sit at the dining room table with my father. My father was a vice president of planning and allocation for a company called Chesking that no longer exists today. My grandfather ran his own retail business out of Springfield, Missouri, sold pants out of the back of his, literally back of his van, and then eventually had his own brick and mortar store. So it's what I've done. I wanted to be a baseball player, but I realized at age 15 I wasn't going to be a baseball player. Mm-hmm. So retail was it for me at that point. So it wasn't accidental. Sitting here in front of Ron right now, who talks about the accidental career, for me it was never accidental. It was what I always knew I wanted to do and wanted to get to the corner office. So when I was 17 years old, I graduated high school in 3 years, not because I was super smart, just because I was creative and I took two Englishes my senior year. Mm-hmm. My father told me if I didn't go to college, I had to come out of the next 4 years having accomplished what I would have accomplished if I had gone to college, because I didn't want to go to college.
Oh, interesting.
So I decided I wasn't going to go to college. I also, the immediate gratification thing for me is really important. It's kind of hard for me to think about 4 years of an investment at that time. Mm-hmm. So 4 years later, 21 years old, I was a district manager. So I applied the lessons. Wow. 4 years after that, I was a regional director, applied the same lessons. Took me 10 years to be a director of stores, though, because I like to say I took some time off. I changed organizations, kind of like changing your major. Mm-hmm. You kind of have to start over a little bit. And then 3 more years after that, I became a VP of stores for Urban Outfitters. So kind of applying this 3 to 5 year, I call it a retail university. It's actually the last chapter in the book when I talk about how to really extend your career in that period of time.
Awesome. Awesome. So you mentioned Urban Outfitters, some other great brands that you've worked for, Pacific Sunwear, Old Navy, all brands that I personally love and shop with. And I'm curious, you know, you mentioned every business is kind of different. You kind of have to start over in certain respects, but were there any common threads across these brands, like in terms of your experiences, that kind of influence how you feel about retail in general or about your career?
Because
I'm sure the context, your surroundings, your environment, the people, that plays a big role about how you feel about your life, right?
And you said people, and that is the core. That was what was the consistent across all the brands. The brands all did something similar, but they were also very different in how they operated. But people is really the consistent message. And you talk about what I took from it. That's what I took from it. You know, Simon Sinek talks about, like, the find your why, like your core selfishness, what it is that gets you out of bed in the morning. Mm-hmm. I don't think I knew it until I wrote the book. It really is people. Like, I've always known it's people. But when I wrote the book, I really understood what it was that was consistent across all of those paths. And when I was 30 years ago, when I was first a district manager, I came in contact with somebody who I was lucky enough to create a position for them to get promoted. So my first year as a DM, a store manager of mine got promoted, and I felt really good about myself at that time. They had a really hard first year. They struggled mightily, and they did because I didn't really teach them anything. I just did what I did, and they followed me. So at that point, I learned the importance of really thinking through, how do I articulate what I do? And that was been the journey over the last 30 years. It's really taking care of the people in the stores and helping them ascend and grow their career for me, it's always been about continuing to build those relationships. And that's what, from whether it was Pacific Somewhere or it was Urban Outfitters or Old Navy, that's the consistent. That's what I love about the business. It's the people side of things.
I mean, I've been in retail for 12 years, mainly in this capacity, right? It's a bit different than in the stores, but what has always resonated with me is just how community driven it all is, right? Like once you meet someone, you will interact with them in a different way, maybe, you know, 1 year, 2 years, a couple of months, even like down the line. And that community connection, it's like, if I do one favor for you, like it's always going to come back around, which I find really powerful.
Oh, it's been fun about marketing the book, which again, being a salesman is not something I've had to do in a really long time, but marketing the book, I'm getting connections from 35 years ago that are like responding on LinkedIn or Facebook that I've not talked with, that are sharing their journey and what they took from me that, you know, that many years ago, which has been fun.
Yeah. And I want to go back to the point you made about, you know, you created this opportunity, this path for progression. Mm-hmm. And then there was kind of this aha moment of like, oh, like I could have set this person up a little bit better, or we could have connected the dots a little bit better to ensure that success. Is that kind of what led to the idea for the book, Retail Leaders Roadmap, or what other influencers kind of came into play for
you? Yeah, I mean, that was the first experience where I realized I had to do something different to articulate it. And then fast forward 30 some odd years later, I have enough experiences that I can now put down on paper, you know, put pen to paper on, and hopefully be able to share those experiences and help people along. So yeah, that experience 30 years ago was the beginning of, but I finally got to the point where after doing 3.5 decades of the work, I want to teach people how to do the work versus just do the work. And I need to also get to more people than I can get to within one organization or one brand. So I want to help the world of retail versus an individual organization of retail. And so that's what I'm looking forward to doing.
Yeah, that's amazing. Because I know we've been hearing so much about employee empowerment and how do you create those opportunities for people to start, you know, on the store floor and kind of work their way up the ranks, whether it be within that specific retailer or at a different retailer. It just seems like the consensus is, how do we keep people engaged in retail?
Yeah, and I think what I've learned is very few people will take the time to recognize talent in other people. They're so busy trying to do what they need to do that they're not spending as much time understanding what other folks can do. And so you have to take that on yourself. So the book really is about, if nobody's there to help you, take this book, read this book, let this book help you help yourself.
Okay.
And if you're lucky enough to come in contact with maybe one or two people that actually are invested in you, great, take advantage of it. It won't last long because they'll go on to do something else. But the intent is really about how you can recognize your own capability and then how you can actually put, again, pen to paper and do the work.
Okay, got it. So if we were to envision the ideal audience for this book, obviously it's in the name, Retail Leaders, but is it the folks that know upfront, like, yes, I want a path to progression, I want to achieve X, Y, Z, or is it people that are just in retail and they're trying to figure out, like, what do I really want to do here?
Yeah, I mean, I stuck with the lane of retail because that's the lane that I know. So I spoke specifically to retail, and I would say about 20% of the book really is specific to retail in the sense that it's using the jargon that relates to retail. But 80% of the book, in my opinion, can be applied by anybody in any profession that wants to grow.
Mm-hmm.
It's really about growth. It's broken into three different parts. It's build your character, it's build your connections, and it's build your plan.
Mm-hmm.
And the build your character part is kind of those hard skills, the kind of foundation required of somebody. You got to work hard, you got to be open to learning, you got to set examples, you got to be accountable, and you have to be disciplined. The connection part is where you really start to understand that other people will be a part of your success equation. You have to develop people, you have to be good at communication, you have to have great influencing skills. And then the build the plan part is you have to put pen to paper now on how you're actually going to deliver, and that whole retail university idea of how you're actually going to educate yourself while you deliver. It's the hard part about retail is you have to deliver to grow, but if you're only working on delivering, you're not learning as much as you need to. So it's that balance between the two.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And I always love speaking with folks that have written books because it's such a labor of love, I could imagine. I mean, I just write articles and reports, and by then I'm like emotionally depleted because it's such a process. Was there anything that you learned or uncovered during this process? Again, just given the personal ties to this topic, your history, like when you're going through this process, did you have moments of like, oh, I wish someone helped me through this process myself, or like, I wish someone showed me how to do this. Like, were there any moments like that?
It was a learning. I would say I was reminded of a lot of things that I forgot. along the last 35. I was reminded. And the one that I think helped me the most more recently was this balancing act between humility and confidence. How are you humble enough? And how are you also confident? People want to follow confident leaders, but you also have to be open to learning. You have to be open to making mistakes and those types of things. And what I learned was, and I heard this quote somewhere, act like you've never won before when you practice, but act like you've never lost before when you're playing the game. And that kind of helped me in terms of when you're playing the game, if you've done all the work already, you should stand tall and you should stand proud and you should be confident. But when you're not in the game, you should be very humble because you want to constantly learn and grow. And so that's, I would say, probably the biggest learning that I've had in the last 12 months in writing the book. And other than that, it's just been a lot of good reminders.
Yeah. And I'm sure that's something that everyone in the retail industry can feel and relate to because there's so much change happening all the time. It's like once you figure something out, there's a change, yes, or there's something new that came into play that completely changes everything else.
And that's the part of the building your plan part that's so difficult is the end zone never moves, but how you get into it is constantly changing. Mm-hmm. And so you have to have an idea of where you want to be, but you have to be flexible enough to adjust and audible as necessary to make sure that you can actually get there based on the environment and the way the defense shows up, if you will.
Yeah. So let's get into some of the underlying issues or I guess what's happening in this world of retail, because you've noted that many retail leaders get stuck halfway up the ladder, which really stood out to me, like as you think about career progression in general, right? What are some of the common reasons? Like, why does this stalling take place in retail specifically?
Yeah, I think a couple reasons. One, I think the majority of people that choose retail as a profession need instant gratification. I think it's just the type of individuals that gravitate towards it. And you have to be patient to some extent to be successful in retail, but you also have to put the work in. And so when I outline like the build your plan, I'm sorry, build your character, build your connection, and build your plan, I wrote the book to be a diagnostic tool so that you can recognize where you're misfiring.
Love that.
Typically, you're not going to misfire in everything it is that I talk about, but what is it? Are you not working hard enough today? Maybe that's what it is. Are you not open to learning enough today? Maybe that's what it is. My communication skills aren't what they need to be. I'm not getting out of people what I need to get out of people when I communicate with them. So the idea I think people get stuck is, I know people get stuck, is they're not doing something they should be doing, and nobody's there to tell them they should be doing it because they're busy. You have to tell yourself. And so this book is really meant to be that tool that you kind of look at often, but also a tool that you can use to help other people if you recognize other people are stuck as well, because then you could pick it up and say, you know what, right now, I got to be honest with you, you used to be open to learning, you're not anymore. You're rigid, your ego's getting the better of you today.
Yeah.
So if you're going to continue to grow, you need to go back to thinking the way you used to think and be open to learning again. So what is that one thing, that trigger that they need to, and usually it's one or two things that's holding them back, but they can't rely on somebody else because they're not likely going to be lucky enough to have that one or two people that are going to help them get to where they want to get to. It's going to recognize what they have in themselves.
I really like that pay it forward aspect. So obviously this is a diagnostic tool, you noted, for individuals, like if they don't have anyone on the outside to support them or advocate for them, but to have this reference point and to be able to be like, oh, like I see that in my colleague or there's an opportunity there and be able to connect those dots. I mean, that's really powerful stuff because you're helping change within, but in a way it kind of bleeds out into others too.
Yeah. And that's why I want to, again, I talk about, I want to help the world of retail, not just an individual organization, whatever country they happen to live in. Like I want to make sure that they have the opportunity to grow. I like to refer to it as put better food, better quality of food on the table for yourself. I want to help people be able to do that as often as I can.
Yeah, that's amazing. And it kind of creates a sense of purpose and enlightenment and inspiration, I think, at a time for the people in the stores where like everything feels a bit chaotic, right? Like we're hearing the challenges of theft happening in the stores. Yep. We're hearing, we've covered it ourselves, right? Like that there's more pressure on associates and managers to be more efficient, to be more effective, to sell more, to do more.
Do more with less.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I'm sure people across the board feel that pressure in some capacity, but especially in stores. Then it's like, oh, AI, what's going to happen with that? What's with all this new technology? And it just keeps compounding in and of itself. So having that moment of light is amazing, honestly. But like, how are all these things impacting the way you speak with folks in the industry? Like, do you even think about that?
Yeah.
Like, is it something you acknowledge, but you try not to like blind, like overwhelm them with that side of things and keep it light? Or,
well, I think it's a couple things. One, to your point about being efficient and productive, the things you talk about, like, you know, to do more with less, companies are divesting in people.
Yeah,
they are. It's a line item in most cases. Human resources has become more about risk management and compensation, benefits, mm-hmm. things of that nature, less about the human and more about protecting the organization. And learning and development, I mean, doesn't really exist for most companies anymore. And when I came up, learning and development was fantastic. I still remember things I learned when I was 20 years old from my L&D team and my HR team. So because that doesn't exist and because the investment isn't there, that's what I want to talk about. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to be a thought leader in the place around people to bring that back to the forefront, because it's the biggest line item on a P&L. Payroll. Why wouldn't you invest in people? It's also the one line item that you can invest in that actually will do more for you. Mm-hmm. Most of the other line items are like real estate and supplies and things of that nature, distribution. Those things are kind of static. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to invest, invest where you actually have mobility to move people forward. And so that's what I talk most about. And in terms of like AI and, you know, that's all I'm hearing here is AI at NRF. It's evolution. Mm-hmm. Like it's, we have to accept it. And I think there are a lot of people that don't accept it, don't embrace it. And until we do, you can't find any solutions. So I think it's about just making sure people know what's different today is going to be different tomorrow. I mean, I wrote schedules in pencil, mm-hmm. you know, like it's just different. And different generations, I think, look down on previous generations, mm-hmm. you know, our new generations, I should say.
I'm starting to do it. Don't talk about it,
Trust
Brian.
Me. I do too. I feel terrible when I do it too. I hear my dad talking to me. But I think it's just about accepting and embracing the reality that is it is what it is. Mm-hmm. And how do we learn from it and how do we apply it?
Yeah. And how do we possibly integrate it into this framework or this diagnostic process of like, okay, I need to spend more time learning. What can I learn more about? Maybe it's AI and
that's
getting beyond the hype.
The two things that are probably the most important is you have to be open to learning, right? Mm-hmm. And you have to be flexible in the plan that you built. Like if you're so rigid in the plan that you build and it doesn't go the way you expected it to, you give up. But the end zone's still there. You want to get into the end zone. So what do you need to do differently? And so, yeah, those are the two probably most important things today.
Well, this has been great, Brian. So to close out, like what would you say to your peers? I mean, maybe even at the higher executive level, since our readership and listenership is a little mixed here. What would you say to them? Like they're looking for ways to support their teams, but they're also trying to position themselves for success. I think this is kind of like a closed loop moment, because you kind of mentioned this at the top, right? What recommendations do you have for striking that balance, making sure that they're focusing, like you put the oxygen mask on mm-hmm. yourself before you can help others, right? So how do they do that when there's always so much to do, like all those line items?
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's you have to invest in people. Like you have to invest in people. You have to flip the pyramid around. Those that work for you are your customer. If they're unhappy, that's a problem. If you're only thinking of the external customer, you're missing everybody in between. Mm-hmm. And so you have to start with the ones that you actually have an impact. I can't control whether or not you come into the store, but I can control whether or not, I should say, I can influence whether or not those that are helping you when you come into the store or going onto the website get the experience that they need. So to me, that's at the core of what people have to do today if they want to be successful, is focus on people. I refer to it as flip the pyramid around, make them be the most important person in the room, not yourself. And if you do that, you're going to have loyalty, you're going to have sustainability, and you're going to weather the storms or weather COVID, you know, those types of things. You're going to come out on the other side.
Yeah, because we've been hearing a lot about how associates can be really powerful advocates and influencers for the brand, too. So if you close that gap, that pays off long-term.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, 100%. Amazing. Well, Brian LeBrock, retail executive turned author turned supporter of the industry. Appreciate you taking the time. It was so nice meeting you.
Nice meeting you, Alicia. Thank you so much.
Best of luck with launching the book and doing more stuff like this.
Thank you very much.
We're going to add information on the Retail Leaders Roadmap to the show notes so you all can learn more, get a copy, and hopefully learn more about Brian and get his support, because he has a lot of great insights to share.
Thanks, Alicia. I appreciate it.
All right. And thanks to all of you so much for listening. We will see you next week. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Retail Remix. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. You can find us on your favorite podcast player. Until next time, keep mixing it up.